This is episode 468 of Locked On Rangers. I'm here with Javi Reyes of Locked On Padres. We're going to talk about what went wrong with the Padres season, why they should have traded with the Rangers, and all kinds of stuff related to the Major League Baseball playoffs. Let's get started.
Sounds fun.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked on to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, joined today by the specialist of special guests, the one, the only, the always fantastic, the now, I feel like including you in the Locked On MLB Sad Boys Club, Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. You know, I think that there has to be a subsection of the Locked On MLB Sad Boys, right? So it's you, it's Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates, it's Paul Holden of Locked On Rockies. It's probably Connor Newcomb of Locked On Orioles, even though he has a little bit of interesting prospects.
Most definitely.
There's got to be like a Locked On, like, it's like the tragedy, the clown show. You know what I mean? You have to have someone like, I think it's like me. I think it's maybe Jason Burke of Locked On A's, like disappointing teams that aren't hopeless and like they're competitive in a way, but they have a little bit of like the, oh my God, we totally fell apart. Maybe the Reds, I dare say, might involve in that. The Mets, certainly. You know what I mean? Like a little bit more like tragic clown show. That's what I'd say. Locked On Sad Boys and Locked On Clown Shows. That's what I think we need to have.
That's a great grouping there. Also, would be remiss if we didn't include Locked On Diamondbacks of Millard Fillmore or Millard Thomas, not Millard Fillmore. Who the heck is Millard
Fillmore?
Who
the heck was that?
Is that a president? I think that's a president. Oh my gosh. Anyway,
Thomas J. Whitmore from the Friggin' Independence Day. What's going on?
My goodness. Before we get even more off track, today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Go visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. You could tell them Bryce sent you, but probably Locked On is better. They don't really know my name yet. They'll get there eventually. But let's talk some baseball. Both of these teams had very sad seasons. And I said at the end, my season finale show, I guess my like end of season show, whatever Monday was, whenever the actual regular season stopped. I don't remember when that was. It feels like it's been a long time already. But I said, if you told me at the beginning of the season that the Rangers would play as many playoff games combined as the Oakland A's, the Padres, and there was some third team that I can't think of that was also very disappointing that I was very surprised didn't make the playoffs. But the Blue Jays, then I would have slapped you in the mouth or kissed you on the mouth because something either went horribly wrong for all of those teams or literally the world ended and the Rangers were probably one of the few teams left to play Major League Baseball. Like, I don't know what happened. And I'm very sad because I picked the Padres as my team that I'm going to watch late nights once the Rangers are done and, you know, have some fun. There's some former Rangers that I love there. There's some players in general that I love there. And even that team, a little team, like this is a safe, fun, like kind of bandwagon-y pick to just kind of watch and enjoy. What did you do to me? Or I guess what did they do? It's not your fault. I mean, maybe it's a little your fault. I don't know if you're taking any blame or credit for the season, but like, dude, what happened?
What happened indeed? What happened indeed? I mean, this is a question I've been struggling with for probably like a month or so now, a little bit more than that. I just wrote about the Padres actually recently for justbaseball.com. Great website. And it's just very... Damn it, Bryce. Sorry. I'm like, this happens every now and then where like the neurons kind of like malfunction a little bit, you know what I mean? When I start thinking about all the things that happened this year, I start thinking about the tragedy. I start thinking about the collapse, the 29-43, 26-43, whatever it even was in the second half for my Padres. And like, you just kind of lose it. Like, I hate baseball is basically what I'm trying to say. Like, it's a terrible sport. Like, that's basically what I'm trying to say is that like the idea of talking about baseball to me right now is exhausting. Like just saying anything with the Padres, this is why I'm like, man, being a beat writer is or beat follower. Like if you're a beat, you know, you follow one team, it's both a blessing in terms of you just have to focus on your one team. You get a lot more involved. You can tap into that fan base. But the negative is when it's bad or whatever, you get I'm not going to say bored, but you just get it's your mood so much more depends on that team. And in this case, the Padres made my mood pretty atrocious, if not for the fact that I have like movies to watch, books to read, video games to play, and my football team that I can't mention because then my followers get really upset that my football team is awesome. And like, it's blowing my mind. I think that, I don't know. I might've like moved to Alaska. I might've like gone on a pilgrimage or something like that. Like that one Martin Scorsese movie, you know what I mean? I might've, or like, what's that movie with, Into the Wild? Is that what it's called? Like that might've been me.
I don't know. Hopefully I didn't without see that one.
Without the, you know, spoiler, the deaths at the end. But like, you know, like I'm just saying like, that's basically
I was going to watch that. Wow. I can't believe you spoiled that.
Shut up. But yeah, man, it's been absolutely rough. And I think a lot of it, kind of just to summarize and actually give you a real answer, is that a lot of it, I think, was kind of really capturing that athletic piece that dropped last week, which is just a multitude of just players underperforming, health, sure, but just bad decisions by the front office and AJ Preller and the organization in general. Like, it's not a coincidence that so many players are doing better elsewhere that the Padres used to have, and a lot of the players they brought in aren't doing well. That's not simple. Some of them, like Adam Frazier, who they acquired at the deadline, I think is just like, what were you thinking? Like, that guy probably was overachieving in the first half. But others, like Blake Snell, like Yu Darvish, like Tommy Pham, etc., that might be more of a sign of just like, you guys can't develop anybody. I've been saying it for a while. If I'm another organization, I'm doing everything to trade for Chris Paddock and Mackenzie Gore right now.
I mean, you developed Jake Cronenworth and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Trent Grisham.
Let me rephrase that.
Like Jake Cronenworth
had
It's more for the pitching side.
It's more for the pitching side. It's more for the pitching side.
All right.
There's starting to be a lot of concerns.
Fernando Tatis missed like 40 games and had nearly a 7-WAR season. Like Jake Cronenworth is a guy who was like, man, pretty solid last year. Had a 5-WAR season this year.
Yeah, he was very
fantastic. Mm-hmm. Five guys with three WAR seasons. Even Ha-Sung
Kim. It's
more
about pitching.
Ha-Sung Kim had a 2-WAR season very quietly. Like,
yeah, the defense was good, man.
I didn't expect his defense to be that good. I thought him to be
it's like Gold Glove caliber, honestly.
I was so surprised. I watched a little bit of him, and like, I mean, you and I talked about like laughed off or like talked off season, like for I guess before the season, whatever it was. But I was like, I want this guy so badly because I think he's gonna hit. And I was really overestimating the difference in pitching, facing pitching at the major league level versus the KBO, which, like, no disrespect to the KBO, but, like, Major League Baseball is just heads and shoulders above every other league, including AAA. It feels like the gap is widening from the majors to the minors. But we'll get into that in another second. And I have some thoughts about a comparison to a certain Rangers team that hurt me just about this badly. Maybe worse. I don't know. But we'll get into that after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Or you endure often pointless, even seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. I just spent up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every single customer. They've got everything you need, so go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Now, this team, just trigger warning for Rangers fans. I'm going to talk about one of the more painful Rangers teams to watch. One of the most painful late season collapses, a team that for almost the entire season was the best team in baseball and then was eliminated in a one-game playoff they shouldn't have even been in. I'm talking about the 2012 Texas Rangers. I don't know how much you follow this team, but this team was incredibly stacked.
It's hard to remember back then.
I think it's one of the best, if not the best, Texas Rangers team that we've ever had. Adrian Beltre was absolutely at his peak, had a 7-WAR season. Matt Harrison was absolutely on one, had a 5.7 baseball reference WAR season. Josh Hamilton, when knew so much fewer things about him and what he would eventually do and become for all that. Had a 930 OPS, had a career high 43 home runs. Adrian Beltre was incredible. Ian Kinsler, Mitch Moreland, Elvis Andrews. That was Elvis's best season, had four WAR season. David Murphy was completely on one. Yu Darvish was, this was his rookie year. He was still really stinking good and the number two of this staff. The back half of the rotation wasn't super great in Derek Holland, Scott Feldman, Colby Lewis, and Ryan Dempster for 12 games. But Colby was a great playoff player. Honestly, always came up, no matter what kind of regular season he had, always came up big in the playoffs. Actually did have a 128 ERA plus, so some of the other statistics were misleading about him, and he only pitched 105 innings. But the bullpen was great. Joe Nathan, Alexio Gondo, Robbie Ross, Mike Adams, Tanner Scheppers, failed starter Tanner Scheppers. Very good reliever, though, Tanner Scheppers. But the Rangers completely collapsed down the stretch. There's a very memorable series in Oakland where basically the Rangers only had to win one game to make sure they still won the division. And it was just a horrendous display. Like, the entire series, there was a very famous, just pretty, not quite routine, but a little less than routine drop ball that Josh Hamilton just dropped in center field that allowed runs to score that ended up winning them the game. But, like, I don't know if that season was more painful or if this one is. Like, which do you think? Is it more painful to have a lot of hope and then everything be taken away? Or, like, because I knew this season the Rangers probably going to be bad, probably going to lose around 100 games. And it still really hurt watching this team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it feels like a different kind of pain. It's kind of hard to, like, compare them sometimes.
It's the age-old question that I still think it's better because at least you're feeling something when your team's in contention. When it's not, you start becoming indifferent, and dare I say, you might fall out of love for the sport. So that's where I lean. It's the age-old question where it's like, is it better to be a Chargers fan where they've had incredible – I just said the forbidden team, damn it. Is it better to be, you know, a Rangers fan?
You didn't say that you were. You didn't say you were a Chargers fan.
So. I did not. I just said my favorite football team. That's the forbidden one. But my favorite football team, obviously something
– Who knows what that is?
Who knows? I don't know. They gotta bring out the Sherlock Holmes investigation skills.
Being a Cowboys fan, which the last few years has been, you know, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of moments where you think they have a chance of doing stuff. Like this year, I am a Cowboys fan. I'm incredibly terrified that I have hope in this team. I'm like, I remember what it's like to have hope in this team.
It's a double-edged sword.
I remember the days of Tony Romo and, like, hoping and praying and week 17 losing to a bad team and missing the playoffs. I remember the botched snap in the NFC championship or whatever game that was, the one against Seattle. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Or like to be a Lions fan where it's like, yep, we're just going to suck every year. And that's what it is.
I think it's the latter is worse because you can be turned off from the sport and just literally not care anymore. The hard thing about the team that is, because it really hurts you. I mean, I've cried before over football losses. I've cried before over baseball and all. Like, it hurts you so much. And it's why I hate Boston, by the way. We were talking about this before we started, where the Boston fans act like, I'm like, dude, like, I genuinely don't think you're allowed to complain if you're a Boston sports fan for, like, another 20 years. Like, I just don't understand.
Not about any
and by the way,
honestly, not about a single sport, because every single one of them have been good. And it's like if you have won a championship, if your team has won a championship in the last decade and they're in the tank now, shut up. That's what happened.
Terrible.
The Rangers were one of the best teams in baseball for a 7-year stretch, and they never won a championship. And if they did, that would make this so much better. Be like, losing 100 games sucks, but, like, we won the championship.
Say to you, right, Bryce? This is what they always say to you. They're always like, well, what am I supposed to do? Stop caring? Like, I mean, I could take shots at everybody. I don't care who it is. Like, there's a lot of great people out there who are like, what do I do? Just stop cheering for my team. It's like, Charlotte Wilder, I'm watching you complaining about the Patriots not winning last year. I saw that BS. And it's like, I'm not saying you can't complain. But, like, I've been with my one friend, one of my best friends, his Eagles won the Super Bowl, right? And I'm with him for game one of the following season, and they're losing to the Falcons, I think it is, on the Thursday night game. It's a terrible game, if anyone remembers that. And they're losing, and he's just like, oh my God. Like, he's getting so upset. Like, no. It depends. There's variables to this. You cannot tell me you're that upset after your team has won this minute. Like, I refuse to accept that. You're spoiled. You're you're full of yourself, to be perfectly honest with you, and you need to grow up. You need to, there's you're not going to just win your whole life. It just doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when people are 5-0 in fantasy football and then they lose one game and they're losing their minds. Like, oh, like, not going to lie, that may or may not have a little bit been me this week, but I got over it. The reason I was upset more was because I lost, like, all my players to injury. That's what it was. I lost my quarterback. His finger gets broken into a million pieces, apparently, and I lost Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So that's a little bit different, but it's just those people really drive me insane. I'm like, I just don't believe this. There's a way for you to root in their team and be like, ah, damn it. Ah, all right. Well, you know what? We'll hopefully come back next year. You be sad about it for the day instead of writing about it and typing your tweets about it. And you got to go absolutely mad out of your mind like someone just killed your pet hamster. You know what I mean? Like, it's just I've had enough. But anyway, yeah. So go Astros. I'm rooting for them over the Red Sox.
Oh, God. Oh, I hate you so much. I should kick you off my podcast just for sitting in general. I do get the Boston hate a little bit. And
I'm also on the East Coast for your Rangers listeners who are wondering, so I'm a lot more closer to it.
So you have some distance between you and Astros. Though there is no distance, physical distance, that matters to Astros Twitter. They will find you and attack you no matter what.
That is true.
Thankfully, I've done a good job of like blocking and muting all of them, so I don't really get it that much from them, thankfully. And my one weakness as a sports fan that I've found something really cool, like Boston sports fan people, like our Locked On Red Sox people and former Locked On Red Sox people and other, I'm like, ended up following like a whole bunch of I'm like, how did this happen? Why am I seeing so many Boston sports fans? And they're like nice people who I like and generally want like nice things for. But I'm like, and our friendship is based on sports. And I'm like, I like you and I want you to have a happy life. But like, also screw your Boston sports. Stop complaining. Dallas has had one championship in this, is it one in this millennia, unless you count the Dallas Empire and their championship for Call of Duty, which like fine, I'll count it, but like the Dallas Wings just moved here in 2016. They've been basically a farm team ever since then. It was just the Mavericks in 2011, and everyone still hates the Cowboys because they were really good in the 90s and have been mostly trashed for the last 20 years. So basically all the like 20-year-olds who are Cowboys fans grew up with everyone hating them, even though their own team sucked. They're like, why does everyone hate us? We suck. Direct that elsewhere. Be mad at the teams that are winning. We're hating too.
I still hate Boston more, but I do hate the Dallas Cowboys. And a lot of it, I don't think, is the fans' fault. No, it is a little bit of the fans' fault, but it's like this kind of like worldwide conspiracy to keep making it that they make more money every year, despite not having one. You know what I'm saying? Like the Patriots made more money. The Golden State Warriors have made more money. You know what I'm saying? But the Dallas Cowboys, for some reason, are the biggest sports organization in the world. But the Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Royals, heck, the Golden State Warriors, like I just mentioned, have won multiple titles, and the Cowboys just keep losing. So it's the amount of attention they get.
One title.
It's how we're all forced to watch them, I think, is my issue. How we're all forced to care about them.
That's right. We all hate that too. Like, especially in the year where we suck, is like, stop putting us on national TV.
It's one of those.
Put us at noon. Let us get our day ruined early and then move on with it. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break.
Baseball.
We're going to take a quick break when we come back. And I'm going to make some hypothetical trades that, if I could reverse time, might make both of our teams very happy. Ooh. But first, Javi's going to tell us about this next sponsor.
Yes, I am. And we were just talking about football, guys. We're back and better than ever. I mean, we've been back for a little bit, 5 weeks now. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for more football. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season and probably seasons to come. You know, I'm just assuming because they're rad. As always, they're the number one spot with new updated sites and interfaces and more odds, props, and contests. It is the number one place to go. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code. That's right. Our promo code, not anybody else's. Mm-hmm. This is ours because you're listening to this podcast. It's awesome, isn't it? Locked On to receive your bonus, guys, from football. Not just football, though. They've got you covered with baseball, basketball, boxing, UFC, MMA, whatever you want to call it. Favorite casino games, futures bets. They'll probably have some stuff for the Oscars when the Oscars roll along and pretend that they're a really good representative of what's the best and most important in pop culture. They've got you with that stuff, guys, so be sure to check it out. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports and stuff. Bet online, where the game starts.
So I think
you can tell I hate the Oscars.
That's fine.
Josh Neighbors. I have some beef with him. So,
but say normally I don't care about any award shows. I actually watch the Emmys because I just wanted to see Ted Lasso win all the awards, and you know they did. So good on him.
The Emmys do a decent job. Because to summarize it very quickly, my issue with the Oscars and my issues with the Grammys, it's only popularity, no prestige, and then Oscars, it's all prestige, and we don't give a crap about the rest of you guys. Even though we claim to, and we do all these ads about how we want you back in the movie theater, then we're going to nominate a movie like Come On, Come On, which like I imagine will be good.
I don't even know what that hopefully. Is.
It's another A24 movie, the Joaquin Phoenix, that's coming out. So it's a bad example. It might be great. I might love it. But like, let's just nominate things like Green Book and whatnot. And we're not even going to acknowledge that the biggest movie of all time came out, Avengers Endgame, which I personally enjoyed. We don't even acknowledge it. We're pretending that we're a good barometer for pop culture. It's like, all right, guys, like, stop being snobs. It's okay. I'm not saying all these things have to get Best Picture, but you're just going to pretend that movie didn't happen. It's just, it's always weird the way they do this, and I hate the Oscars. And Josh Neighbors is a coward. He's not even a coward. He's a punk. Punk is a better word to explain it.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's no
give me them trades, man. Give me trades, the trades, man.
Trades.
Give me
them trades. So we talked about this when we talked mid season, around the trade deadline. And you know what? Since none of this is real, you can just agree to all of these, and even though they might not make sense for reality, it doesn't matter, because in this fake world, these trades that the Rangers are giving to the Padres make all the difference in the world, and they end up winning the World Series, and everything's hunky-dory, and Joey Gallo has a nice home, and he's not a member of the stupid Yankees, and then he comes back to Texas and win a World Series here.
That was a tough time for you, I know.
I know, it's still tough. It's still tough. I had someone try and talk trash to me about Joey Gallo like the other day, just because he's a Yankee. And I'm like, he didn't choose that.
Yeah, that's weird when people do that, right?
It's very fine. Weird. It's fine. But basically, at midseason, the Rangers had, like three good players. Four. No, Adolis is a good player. but they weren't going to trade him. And I don't think they, even in this fantasy world, we're not going to go back and do that. But it seems like the biggest problem that these Padres had is that every single one of their pitchers fell off a cliff, and they were literally signing the scrappiest scraps off the scrap pile to try and just eat some innings. They had a good bullpen, but like it was super over. Well, it's a
fine bullpen.
They had good bullpen pieces that I think
had
put up bad performances because they were way overtaxed. Because at any one time there were maybe one or two consistent starters going for the back half of the season.
The back half of the season is when the Padres bullpen wasn't as great. For the first half, they were amongst, I think they were the number one in ERA, or at least number two.
They were fantastic.
Yeah. But then, like you mentioned, some guys I think genuinely just didn't pitch well, but they also lost Drew Pomeranz for the remainder of the year at one point to an injury. And then also, like you mentioned, like there was a lot of just bullpen games. Ryan Weathers like kind of secretly just launched a nuclear silo and blew up this team in a lot of ways when it comes to that specific aspect, because he had plenty of like three inning, eight run, you know, performances like down the stretch, and he was just getting killed. It was weird that they couldn't just put him in the bullpen, but like you said, they barely had any starters and what have you. So that was kind of the issue that they fell into.
I mean, they literally picked off a guy who the Cubs, who sucked real hard this year, said, nope, this guy sucks. He even won a World Series with us. Just bye.
Exactly.
I mean, he was also a D-bag as well, and they still signed him. And he had an 11 ERA in 12 and a third innings, which I don't like that happened to you. But, like, of course it happened because he sucked that bad. Anyway, I think they really could have used a guy. You know, they could have used, like, it felt like, I don't know, one more big lefty bat and one really good starting pitcher. And you know what? The Rangers had just the guy. And even if you wanted another guy in the bullpen, there's a veteran guy, Ian Kennedy, who's doing pretty well with the Rangers. So I feel like there's some kind of package to be made around Mr. Joey Gallo, Kyle Gibson. And if you really – do you think you want an Ian Kennedy just for safety's sake?
I think it depends, because the Padres at first, they did acquire Daniel Hudson, who was at least viewed as a quality kind of reliever. He ended up not being as great with the team, but that's kind of just what happens with relievers, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, they could have off seasons, off half seasons. Everything can just go kaput, which in fairness is kind of the story of baseball production in general. But with Gallo and who else did you mention? Kyle Gibson, right?
Kyle Gibson. You know, honestly, looking at the starting rotation for y'all. You could even use a Jordan Lyles. Like Jordan Lyles had a 5.15 ERA, but he was solid. He was dependable. Like I talked a lot of trash on him, to be honest, but he had a lot of bad outings and he kind of earned it. But down the stretch, like, he was consistent. Even if he was going to give up 5-6 runs, he was going to go 5-6 innings almost every time, had several outings of seven innings, several outings against even good teams. Against the Red Sox, he went seven innings and only allowed one run, like late in the year when Boston like really needed to keep up those wins. So like, I feel like could even use two starting pitchers, but I'm for the sake of this exercise, we're just going with the three player package.
Yeah, I mean, it could have worked. I think that there's a couple things with this, right? First of all, I think Gallo would have been a great fit for the Padres. I think Gallo is a pretty good fit for a lot of teams. But why I say the Padres, to add a little bit more to that, is because the thing that the Padres struggled in was not batting average on base stuff. They acquired Adam Frazier at the deadline, which I thought that he would at least be a competent piece that might help out and maybe be a spark plug type of player for the offense. You know, I mean, a little bit of a, you know, just slapstick, you know, sort of just slapping hits all over the place to kind of start and get another guy on base, which I thought was fine. But I also noted at the time that the trade, batting average and on base are two areas that the Padres at the halfway point when the deadline occurred were in the top 10 in baseball. And that was not an issue, thanks to Tatis and guys like Pham, who before Tommy Pham decided that he would refuse, like, this is actually a real quote. He said, "I refuse to drive in runs. I outwardly refuse." He had one of the five worst WRC pluses among all players in baseball with runners in scoring position. So that was awesome. Love that from Tommy Pham. But I will say that the other part of this is, while Joey Gallo is an on-base guy, he's a power guy. He's a slugging percentage guy. Those are areas that the Padres, despite being known as Slam Diego once upon a time, were seriously lacking. So that was definitely what would have been a better piece to add than Adam Frazier. And I think AJ Preller knows this. So that's where the second part of this comes from.
I got to stop you right there just because I want to slap you in the face, because I see your lineup has all these guys with 20, 40 home runs. Even like everybody except for Victor Caratini had at least double-digit home runs. No. I'm looking, but just compared to my own offense, it makes me so angry. If you watch the Rangers offense, you know what true bleak offense looks like. Anyway, but you do have a point for an actual contending team, because my view and like my, you know, what is it? My barometer has been skewed.
Finished 23rd this year in home runs. Not that good.
That's not that good.
Could slugger percentage 21st. To look at it right now, like, it's just, they did kind of need a Gallo, but I think AJ Preller knows this. The second part of this whole thing is, regardless of what the trade might have looked like, the Padres gave up a lot of their assets before the season. So I think that they were thinking, I don't want to get rid of Abrams, Gore, Campuzano, Robert Hassel. They barely have any, they don't have a lot of depth in their farm system. They still have some golden eggs in those four, but they don't have a lot of depth. So a lot of people were praising the Padres, myself included, by the way, for the fact that they acquired all these players, you know, from Musgrove to Snell to Darvish to Pham to Grisham to whoever the heck, Adam Frazier, if you want to throw him in there, that they acquired all these players without having to give up Mike Clevinger, without having to give up one of their biggest prospects, which is somewhat true. They gave up Luis Patino, who was definitely one of their top prospects for sure. But aside from him, they only had to give up one.
I wouldn't say that he's their top, even their top five. He's close. Like, looking what they had at their top five this year, he might have been ahead of
Weathers. At the time, it was probably Gore was number one, then it was Abrams, and then it was Patino. And then you could debate the others, because Robert Hassel literally just got drafted. So the issue with that is, yes, that is a good point that they didn't have to give up their top prospects, but they made so many deals that it resulted in the farm system not having nearly as much depth. And that's where, like you were mentioning, you bring in Jake Arrieta, you bring in Vince Velasquez, like you're forced because you don't have any depth. And baseball is a sport about depth. This is not the NBA where I don't give a crap. Just give me two superstars. I literally don't give a damn who else is on my team. Go look up what happened with the Brooklyn Nets last year. I know they're going through a little bit thing right now, but like, just in general, cool. I have three superstar scores. Oh, they're defense. I don't care. This is the NBA. Just have stars. It does not matter who your sixth guy on the bench is. I genuinely believe that it doesn't matter if you have all those stars. This isn't like that. Or in football, if you have the quarterback, you could be great, right? This is not like that. You need those guys.
I don't know. I watch a lot of Texas Tech teams with Patrick Mahomes, so I had to disagree there.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But, you know, you have these moments in August where it's like you need to have that random kind of guy that you can call up and do some work for you. Or he's, you know, at the back end of the rotation. And then you look at guys like that. You look at Cal Quantrill, who was really good for Cleveland, especially in the second half of the season. You look at guys like, you know, in terms of the hitting things, while hitting isn't the worst thing the Padres have been developing, like you so rightfully excoriated me for before, you know, you look at a guy like Ty France. Do you, Bryce, I sometimes, not even sometimes, I literally did dream once watching the Padres. I don't remember the context, but I remember like seeing, you know how dreams are all hazy and stuff. I remember seeing Ty France at first base instead of Eric Hosmer. You know what I mean? Maybe he was the D, I don't know. Maybe he was in the dugout still. Like maybe he was just a bench player or something like that. But I just visualized that. And I'm like, that's what this team could have been. And that's one of the issues is while you wheel and deal and you don't make all these moves, sometimes maybe you should calm down a little bit. Maybe you should only make a couple and you shouldn't buy
Don't go full Artie Moreno.
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't go full. Exactly. You shouldn't do all that because 2020 was a truncated season. And maybe there were some things that weren't going to be repeated, like Eric Hosmer suddenly deciding to hit the ball well and embrace launch angle, like Will Myers being one of the best slugging percentage guys in the entire league. His clutch stats were incredible. Like, this is real thing. Now, Will Myers wasn't awful this year. He was okay. But with Hosmer and all these guys, you should have suspected. And then you have the issue of injury with Paddock going down and with Lamet, who is just damaged goods. And I've said this before at this point. It's been really rough. But I do think that even a Kyle Gibson could have helped. Lyles, like you mentioned. And I've mentioned Jordan Montgomery. The Padres just needed a guy who was okay. Not to bring them up all that much, but one of the things about the Astros is they don't have a wipeout ace. They just have all these guys who will, in the technical term, just give you a quality start, which is six innings, three runs or less. That's all they need because their offense is so good. The Padres would have died for a Frambo Valdez, for a Jose Urquidy or anything like that. Just a solid guy who's going to go into a game, probably give up three runs, but he'll eat innings and do well for you instead of guys like Ryan Weathers. And I can't even say their names again. It was rough.
So my hypothetical trade.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. For that package is Mackenzie Gore, mm-hmm. Robert Hassel. And then we will take Hosmer pay his entire contract. Would you, in hindsight, take that?
So there's a couple to one thing to this. I was going to say no immediately, but you did say you would take the Hosmer thing.
Yeah.
That's a lot more fair. You have to do that, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like a Mackenzie Gore plus a Hassel, which like at this point, Hassel is definitely like the lead in that package. Mackenzie Gore is like a,
Abrams, I think, is technically the best, but in fairness,
Abrams is definitely the best. But like, I wouldn't even ask you for Abrams for even all like for literally the entire like Rangers farm system plus the full major league team. I don't know that AJ Preller would give up CJ Abrams for that.
If any fans are wondering, like, this is a fair offer. That's how bad the Eric Hosmer deal is right now. You know what I mean? And like, I also wonder if like maybe a year ago before they had traded, maybe if we just gave you guys literally every prospect this in the system with the exception of those four like really good ones, and then you take the Hosmer thing, I wonder if that's something the Rangers might have considered, because our teams have been in contact before. Allegedly, CJ Abrams like was part of a deal for Joey Gallo. Like that was what apparently the Rangers asked for. The Padres said was too much.
That's absolutely what they asked. Like John Daniels knew that's not happening, but like you got to start with that. Cause if you start with like, oh, maybe we'll ask for Ryan Weathers, then like it's all downhill from there. Like you got to ask for the top guys. The worst they can say is no, like they're not going to tell you like, no, go F yourself for asking for that. And we're not going to talk to you anymore. Like, no, that's not how it works. Like,
yeah,
there's hypothetical trades all the time.
Yeah.
So would you?
Yeah, a lot of them that we don't know about. I think that a lot of it depends on how many moves, let's just pretend that the Padres hadn't made nearly as many moves. So like no Darvish, no Snell, no Ha-Sung Kim, like all that stuff. And they have their farm system still loaded and blah, blah, blah. Maybe they do consider doing that just to get rid of the Hosmer thing. And then you have to hope that you have Hassel and Abrams still you have Campizano and Abrams still. And then you still hope that you've got some other guys in that system and there's more depth at least to maybe make up for it. I think that's a lot more feasible, but these days, like heading into this past deadline, I don't think they do that. I think that Preller might have known that they're a little bit, they were minced. They were done. They were minced, mate. I think that he might have had an idea because at the same time, they needed pitching help too. And Scherzer, they clearly were interested in, but that didn't materialize. So it's a lot. I just
maybe including Lyles in there would have also helped.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, because
like Jordan Lyles was at the time, like his ERA I think was around like six or whatever there. I mean, it's only ended up around like 5.5, and like the pitching injuries weren't that desperate at that point, but like you could kind of see the cracks starting to form a little bit. But like if the Rangers had still been able to, like, if the trade deadline was like, I don't know, the end of August, then like, and the Rangers had offered that trade, I think it would have been very strongly considered. I don't know if they would have taken it, but like,
it would have been interesting. The other problem, though, is that Myers is still there, so you have to figure that out. And remember, there's still no DH in the National League because we're stupid over here.
But Myers at first base and Joey in right.
Because if you're not taking Haas, then where would you put Hosmer?
No, so we're taking Hosmer.
You're still taking... Oh, that's true. That's true. You're still taking Hosmer.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's an interesting offer. It's definitely fair. I don't think that... I think some people a year ago would have said that that was unreasonable, but it's not
a year
that
ago.
Bad if you can
a year ago, it's horribly unreasonable because Kyle Gibson was still like bad at that point, and Joey Gallo just come off the worst season of his life, and you know Mackenzie Gore had only had like the one little hush hush quiet season that he was kind of falling off the tracks, and there was no loud noise about it, just whispers. So he was still top 10 prospect.
It's easy in retrospect, but I think that bottom line is that's a really great encapsulation with what the Padres are dealing with right now, where if I'm a team, I am not asking for anything less than those guys in return if I have to take Hosmer. You know what I'm saying? So we might see that this offseason. We might see them lose Abrams or Agora, like you mentioned, just to get rid of the Hosmer contract. That's how bad it is. This guy has zero WAR. You know how hard that is?
Oh my God.
His defensive rating was one of the worst in all of baseball. I mean, it's just...
He won four Gold Gloves. Four!
It's bad, man. It's bad, and Padres fans should be furious, but they should also be furious at AJ Preller and co. and company for giving him that deal in the first place.
Charlie Culberson had a 1.1 WAR season in like...
it's insane. It's insane. But like Padres fans, if you're hoping for a miracle, don't get me wrong, you could always hold out hope that a Rockies will like be stupid or the Royals will be stupid and they'll be like, hero back or something like that.
I don't know.
Right?
Royals are... Royals are smarter than that. They're not. Bobby Witt. They at least made some.
No, dude, they're not. They think they're still competitors right now. They're not. I'm telling you, the Royals.
They did sign Mike Minor
just because of the
deal.
World Series. They've been hiding the fact that they aren't well run. But anyway, you have to talk to Ryland Stiles of Lockdown Royals for that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh yeah, I will have plenty of words with him. And being very sad that Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't available at number 2 overall this year, because I would have jumped at that. Not that Jack Leiter isn't great. I'm sure he'll be great, fantastic, when the 17 World Series is and finishes the greatest pitcher of all time. But, like, maybe he won't do that. I don't know. There's a chance he won't do that.
It's a chance. Slight chance, I'd say.
Slight chance. But it's fine. We're fine. You know, I'm sure we'll talk plenty more this offseason. This has been an absolute blast. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers or Locked On Padres your first listen of the day. If you're listening to this, go follow Javi on Twitter at Javi with two I's, Peño. Go listen to Locked On Padres if you want to hear the absolute joy. If you're watching this on video, which you should be, it's right where he's pointing. If you're not subscribed on YouTube to both these channels, please go do so. We really appreciate it. And any closing thoughts on baseball? Are you just ready to just not think about baseball for a hot minute?
Yeah, I think I'm better off that way. I'm going to go watch some movies, some TV. Got a lot of good stuff coming out. I'm finishing up Freaks and Geeks, which is old, but I'm excited about that.
Oh, have you not watched
Star
that before?
Trek Car with my mom. Seinfeld is on Netflix, and I've never watched it until recently. So I'm just trying to vibe and pretend baseball doesn't exist.
Have you not watched Freaks and Geeks before?
No, I hadn't watched it before.
Oh my God. I watched it a few years ago randomly on Netflix, and I'm like, this is amazing. I'm so mad there's only 2 seasons. It's such a good show.
It's only 1 season.
Oh, it is?
It's only 1.
Oh my gosh.
It feels like 2, but it's only 1.
Such a good show. Yeah, if you're looking to forget about baseball because maybe the Astros, they're up 6-1 in the 6th inning right now, about to, and of course I picked the White Sox to win the World Series like a damn moron. But you know, it was the most palatable pick for me of any of the teams that were in the postseason. So
that has a big part to do with this for sure.
Yeah, that's mainly what it was. I'm never gonna pick the Astros, even if I know they're gonna win. Never. Never in my heart of hearts. Well, I'm gonna let you go. Enjoy some television. Been a blast talking with you. I'm sure we'll talk more about baseball and not baseball later on this offseason. Always a joy. Thanks for stopping by.
Love stopping by, man. It's always a blast.